Penguin Random House presents Once Upon a Curfew by Srishti Chaudhary, read by Swasti Sri Sharma. To Edinburgh, the city which reminded me that, above all, I am a writer. Chapter 1. Some thanda, madam? Kampa Shikanji? Indra looked at the Masterji, a short, hunched man with little bristles of white beard on his dark face, thick glasses covering eyes that never stopped squinting, and a slab of sky-blue chalk held safely above his right ear, ready to mark boundaries. She said, "Shukriya," and shook her head clearly. "It would help, though, if you would not delay this any longer," she added. "Bus done, madam. It's done. Think of it as already done." "Don't joke, Masterji. With the state of the border on the Kameez, it could well be another year. And didn't I tell you I wanted brocade?" Masterji gave a sheepish nod. The rolls of fabric at the back of the shop were propped up against each other in slants, waiting to be cut and stitched into clothes. Beneath the glass table, boxes of sample borders, sequins, laces, buttons, and frills were on display. On the wall behind, there was a large calendar featuring Ganeshji, and the scent of fresh incense was in the air.
"Are, why do you worry, Madam Ji?" he asked. "If I say it will be done before the wedding, it will be. Do you think I will let you go to the wedding in old clothes?"
"How many times have I told you to be more efficient with your work than with your words, eh, Master Ji?"
"Oof, Madam likes her little jokes. So what about the arm, Madam? You want brocade, huh?"
"The neck, Masterji, and don't make me repeat it again. I'm going to send Nutty on Saturday, and it better be done by then."
"Yes, madam," he said. "Whose wedding is it?"
"Someone in the family," she said before walking out of the shop. She didn't want to bother too much with explanations. While Shashi uncle was not exactly family, the marriage of his son demanded the same amount of enthusiasm. Indu eyed the dirty water and mud on the road warily, placing her dupatta on her right shoulder, making sure it was perfectly balanced in the front and the back. As she attempted to cross the dirty, congested road, a couple of children began trailing her, begging for an anna. It had rained all night, so the city was obviously paralyzed. But that's not what made Indu stop in her tracks. She stared at the huge poster of Rajesh Khanna and Sharmila Tagore across the road. His head rested against Sharmila Tagore's, as if in peace. The way his eyes closed in bliss, his lips on the verge of a smile, Indu couldn't imagine a more handsome man in the whole country. Indu tore her gaze away from the poster and looked for Nutty. There he was, at the wheel of the white ambassador, waiting for her as he always did. She saw him see her and started the car. Holding her dupatta from both ends, careful not to let it dip in the muddy water, she got in the car and sat at the back with a sigh, pulling the door shut, blocking out the cacophony of the street.
"Is your suit stitched, madam?"
Nutty asked her, slowly reversing while looking into the rearview mirror.
"Of course not, Nutty,"
Indu replied. It was an old affectionate name for Natvarlal, who had spent half his life driving the family around. "You think Masterji ever finishes anything on time?"
People change sometimes, madam, Nutty said, straight-faced. We'll see about that, Nutty. Let's please go before the rain gets worse. Nutty gave his usual small nod and began driving as little droplets of rain began hitting the windows. She watched the street pass by. Hawkers covered their stalls with plastic sheets to save their fruits from the rain. Vegetable vendors pulled their carts under awnings to prevent them from getting spoiled. And bicycle and scooter riders shielded themselves under the flyover. The ambassador cut through the traffic easily amid the sea of carts and bicycles. Indu stared at the ball patch on the back of Nutty's head and asked him, "Say, Nutty, what was that song that you were humming in the morning?" She saw his face light up in the rearview mirror. "Oh, the latest of Kishore Kumar. Vada karo nahi chhodoge tum mera saath. Do you know?" "Of course I know," Indu replied smugly. "Then how come you asked me, madam?" "Because what you were actually humming sounded like a completely different song, Nutty." "Madam likes her little jokes. I know how bored she'd be without me and my summer hits." Indu shook her head, stifling her laugh, and stared outside the window. While brown and yellow leaves lay muddied on the side of the road as a result of the rain, the trees looked greener than ever. The heat had dissipated a bit because of the cool winds that accompanied the rain. The streets looked especially grey against the lushness of Lutyens' Delhi. It was a city that was at its best and its worst in this season. The September rain might have brought relief from the aching heat, but had also invited disease, stagnant water, and mosquitoes. Indu would rather stand the blazing heat than spend nights swatting mosquitoes. As the car took a turn, Indu came face to face with the hoarding of Sunil Gavaskar advertising a shaving cream. The ambassador glided through the tree-lined avenues as the roads became a little wider. There was the usual racket of horns and bicycles on the road as they went around the roundabout towards civil lines. Indu's father had always maintained that a good life was a series of smart decisions that for him had begun with meeting his wife, Lata. From what Indu had heard, her mother had been a beautiful, docile, and cheerful young woman from a well-to-do family and had a penchant for making kadak ginger chai. It was true. Lata's chai was always great. But it was not what had sealed the deal. "It was always your sister's," her father had told her mother later. Her sisters had gushed and giggled over Ajit, the young Delhi boy. And so the decision was made even before the couple saw each other. It was the first in the series of smart decisions. Lata was a sweet, compliant bride, but also a woman who fought her battles fiercely. Unshakably religious, she was aghast to find herself with a husband who had driven all traces of God out of his home and preferred to avoid any matter of faith. Slowly and steadily, though, she was able to turn the dial in her favor. By the time Amita, their first daughter, was born, the new happy father never missed the morning prayer. Amita was a clingy child, introverted and prone to bouts of anxiety. And so she too did whatever was asked of her, including prayers. Perhaps it helped that their increased belief in God coincided with their prosperity. While Ajit had always been well-to-do, his career took off after he got married. Indu's grandfather had been employed by the British and had been in a high administrative
Sample complete. Ready to continue?